fantastic location, surely?
I know, it's open to hotel registration.
So lovely.
It's a mix of amazing architecture, conservation, minimalism, conservation.
It's just fabulous, absolutely fabulous. But just the generosity of the space as well when you come in, it's beautiful.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic.
So Charlotte, we're going to record up at the on the top floor here, up some of these beautiful stairs, up in the drawing room. I love these stairs.
These stairs always make me feel like I'm fit because I can take 10 steps without causing any hassle
at all.
I know,
this is so shallow. So here we are, Charlotte, on the top floor.
Thanks, really.
This is beautiful, isn't it?
Absolutely beautiful.
So this
Fantastic room.
Yeah, isn't it? The top floor of a Georgian building in Henrietta Street in Dublin.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful and south facing. So we're getting a lovely bit of, you know, sunlight and warmth coming in through the windows.
They're beautiful.
It's really
windows.
Beautiful. Yeah,
isn't
fantastic.
It gorgeous? Yeah, I know you can hear maybe a bit of an alarm outside, the urban environment, but it's still so peaceful up here, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, and such a vantage as well. It's amazing being on the upper floor as well too, I suppose, just seeing the rooftops and the spires. And the mountains in the distance, you know, and then all of that life down in the street. Fantastic.
It's just perfect, isn't it? Yeah.
It's
so
great.
Thanks for coming today. So we are here to record another episode of our Heritage at the Heart podcast series. And today we are in Henrietta Street in the core of historic Dublin. And I'm here with Charlotte Sheridan, an architect. And Charlotte, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Shirley. And thank you for the invitation. I'm really honoured. I'm delighted to participate in this podcast.
Thanks very much. So just now, first of all, how did you get into architecture, Charlotte?
Yeah, architecture, it's funny. I suppose at 18, I decided I would do architecture, I suppose, work into my strengths. I was very interested in art and I had an aptitude for maths, those kind of areas. But I really believe that it came from those first 18 years. I grew up in a small town in Cavan, a market town, and it was, you know, a classic market town environment, and then the other towns that surrounded me were different, and I was very aware of all of that environment and the differences in those environments. So, and I think that it was the appreciation of what all of that was in terms of what it brought to my own life, living in a town, living in a village centre where businesses operated and people were plenty of people living on the main street, and we had everybody minding each other to a certain extent. Paddy and Maura Shaffrey were household names. They were from, Paddy at least was from Bailiborough, which was close by too.
Yeah.
Our town, Mulla, was a smaller version of Bailiborough, I always felt, you know. But listening to what my parents talked about him and what his appreciation of towns and what they brought and the value that they gave and the importance of ensuring that we protect them, really, I listened to that and I could understand that and I could see the value and benefit of it too. And I suppose then the other towns that were more of influence in my life too were Kells, and then that represented a different type of environment, the monastic settlement, the little tight streets, and then the extension of that with Lord Headford, the more Georgian extension. So it was really an understanding of the differences between places, and then as I grew up, appreciating that the things that that created that environment was the architecture, not just individual buildings, the landmarks were important, but it was also then the sequence of buildings and how they were assembled, and understanding then too that that's what architects do, that that's the place where architects work. And I was very excited about that possibility of working within that kind of context. So I suppose, and maybe it's more a reflection, maybe it's looking back on what it was that influenced me to do it, that I realised that all of these things were actually shaping my career path and where I got to today.
So maybe we'll have a look at this building and kind of think about, you know, tips on how you might go about looking at a building when you walk into it, if you're thinking about buying an old building.
Yeah, sure.
So obviously these are original floorboards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, original cornices and fireplaces.
Yeah, so you obviously be hoping to keep all of those if you were...
Yeah, and it's amazing actually, you know, when you go to visit a place and looking at historic structures or, you know, to really look beyond the, you know...
The mess, maybe.
but to really start to look into it, look at the doors, look at the handles, look at the architraves, and, you know, just consider somebody made that. You know? And particularly, and you look at the windows.
Look at these.
And in fact, when you see how complex and beautiful they are, and how finely detailed they are.
And the shutters
and
here.
And a craftsperson made that.
Yeah.
And, but it's likely that it was somebody from this particular area.
Of
so
course.
It's very particular. And even the materials that were used, the timber that was used and all of that. And so if you do purchase a property like that, or if you do consider refurbishing that, put value on that. Like that,
it's a resource. It's
a resource. But not only that, it gives such great character. Mm. And then you can add your other things to it and personalise. But that in itself just gives a place of such wonderful, expression. And yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah. I grew up a little bit in a town as well, in Monaghan town, where my father had a bicycle shop. So I was on the street a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the vibrancy and you watch everybody, and it was just a really, really great place to be, full of community and chat and conversation and different scales of buildings. But did you notice a change then in the towns as you grew older then, or went away and came back, and did you notice a change in them?
Yeah, and I suppose when I qualified in architecture, it was a very difficult time here in Ireland. I went abroad, as many of my colleagues did. I worked in Berlin, and Berlin, the wall had just come down. There was a focus on regeneration and regeneration within existing contexts. And I saw the way that regeneration happened over there, which was very well planned, very well understood. There was a very good appreciation of the fragments of existing structures and the existing places and the value that they brought to that environment. So when I came back from there, we were at the cusp of the Celtic Tiger.
Yeah.
Our population was growing, really vibrant, really fantastic. But we were, instead of occupying our urban settlements, we were progressing development out to the suburban areas, and we were rolling out, suburban type development. And I suppose that contrasted very much with what I had seen was happening in Berlin. So that actually brought me on to having an interest in, again, I looked to see, well, what is influencing this? What is causing this to happen? And it became very clear to me that it was planning, and it was planning policy and planning objectives, and that overall understanding of what it is that places should be about. So with that, I decided I would do a master's in planning.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And I could see the influence of that suburban type model and that leaving the urban centres in the village where I grew up. And, we saw the hollowing out of the village centre. And it wasn't just unique to our village. It was happening
everywhere.
And I suppose the village where I am from, it was particularly highlighted because it was a commuter town. It became a commuter town, so that all of those businesses in the town centre then, began to dissipate and close.
And it's funny because you would never have considered Mullagh to be ever on the agenda to be a commuting town.
That's right.
20 years previous to that. It just wouldn't have been something that would have been possible for people.
And I suppose infrastructure delivery then brought that about because it became much more accessible.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of advantages to that. But I suppose if you can think ahead, and that's the benefit and value of planning, that you project and you plan ahead and you see, what are the implications of putting this infrastructure in place, and what are the added value and benefits that we can bring to a place. And now I never see that it's all is lost. I think that there's great opportunities to go back and to revisit and to look to see how can we repair the legacy of that and what happened.
Because a lot of times there may be quite high levels of vacancy, but the skeletons of the buildings are still there. They're dry still, they're quite intact, and there's a lot can be done with them, isn't there? I recall, maybe 10, 15 years ago, that you were part of a project to do historic landscape characterisation. If you remember that.
Yes.
That seems so long ago now, doesn't it? Was it Ballybay and Clonus?
Ballybay and Castleblayney.
Yeah.
On your instigation, Shirley. And they were fantastic projects, actually, because they weren't just considering, we looked at the town centre, we looked at its wider context as well. But it allowed us to get a really good focus on what were the key elements of the town and the village itself. And another really valuable part to it too was the documentation of the existing
environment. Yes, as it was at that time.
And so it picked up on the land use. He got a really good sense of the vibrancy of the place, the population, to what extent it was occupied, the levels of vacancy. And then it was really thorough assessment of the architecture and the built environment. As I recall, we did a catalogue of each of the different buildings. And that in itself, I think, is great in terms of community engagement, that you build people's awareness of the value of their structure. It's amazing when we speak to people, and I know we would have spoken to stakeholders there at the time, when people see their own building drawn or their own property in a photograph, they go, oh gosh, they're interested in this, and they must be interested in this for a particular reason, and then maybe they start to appreciate that place as well.
It's about observing it with slightly different eyes or and look to the future, just like what you're saying there, to project into the future, to imagine how it could be all vibrant and lived in again and all of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was a fantastic project, because what I loved about that as well was that you showed the town evolving over time.
Yeah.
So I went back on the maps and the aerial photographs, and you could see the town starting from a very small settlement and branching out from the centre. And then it's so important to try to refill that again, almost. And thinking about buildings on levels, these stairs. I mean, I don't know how many thousands of people have walked down these stairs, because you can see on all of the threads where they've been worn away.
Yeah, and stairs are always very particular. I always think about stairs being a place where you can pause. Now, particularly, we're very. It's got the sort of landing with the window again.
Yeah.
But I always think about the little nooks and crannies on it, or the little stopover spots where you can hang out, and how a family can use these places and put a chair on that.
Yeah, and
I mean, what's amazing about these stairs is not just the handles, but also then just, even though you might think, oh, I'd love something to be pristine, it doesn't need to be. The wearing away of the timber, that is telling a story as well. And it's also giving the place a lovely character.
Yeah.
And,
And I love these windows that often overlook these little mini landings.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was a kid, always coming, holding my granny's hand, coming downstairs like this in town in Monaghan, and always, we had a rest on the landing and look out the window, and then we'd come down to the next level. And I remember that vividly, because those spaces were really, they were warm, they were inviting, they were full of different types of light.
Yeah,
than maybe the bungalow that we were going out to in the evening time.
Yeah, but it's also a quiet spot often, because somebody, they're not necessarily keeping walking through, so it's lovely.
These are amazing. I know you're involved with the RIAI as well, aren't you? Which is
Royal Institute of Architects of Ireland.
Yes.
And I'm the president of the institute. I'm in my second year of my term.
And do you have an overall aim for your presidency as part of that?
Well, very much part of that has been the focus on the town centre and regeneration of town centres. And it coincided very nicely. My term has coincided very well with the adoption of the National Policy on Architecture. And that very much integrates that idea and concept that we would integrate and embed that appreciation of architecture within government policy, and that it would filter through then to within each of the local authorities. And then very much part of that too then is that you empower and you bring that culture and understanding from the bottom up right to the top, and the top down as well. And I suppose if you have that culture at the top, it will filter down in terms of the way that we operate. And another part of that then as well is ensuring that we have that evidence base. And setting the quality agenda is absolutely critical, So that is very much part of my role and my agenda, to ensure that we bring that through.
I think that's excellent, because we think to show the real role that architecture can play in planning and in the development of our places. I mean, I think in local authorities particularly, there may not be the full cohort of, professionals maybe there to either, advise on the specifications for buildings, or to determine applications when they come in, whether they're in keeping or whether they're a fantastic new innovation for a place. Because I know in Monaghan, we don't at this moment in time have any architectural, in-house person. And, I often think we need that direction from as you say, from national policy to say, this is why having architects on your staff is important, and these are the things that they can bring to your overall decision making.
Yeah, and we would even say in the context of the current planning and development bill, that culture needs to be embedded within that. And I suppose by setting that agenda at the very heart of what planning is about, that you adopt a multidisciplinary approach, that you get that really strong representation at the top table to ensure that strategic decisions that you're making are well informed by all of the disciplines that shape our built environment. And so very much part of that. Of course, you need planners at a senior level within the municipal districts or within the local authorities. But you also need the architects too to bring that, I suppose it's a spatial awareness, but it's also that understanding of quality and how you can ensure that what you're doing is achieving that really good, holistic quality built environment. But equally too, Shirley, and I know you're very interested in biodiversity as well, and you know that agenda needs to be brought into it as well. But I suppose if you have that leadership, it filters down through in terms of what it is that you're doing within the local authorities, within the plans that you prepare. So within all of those objectives that you set out in your development plan, that ethos and that culture is very much well understood. And then right through then to the more fine-grained and detailed plans, such as the ones that you instigated in the historic landscape characterisation plans, but also through to the ACAs. What is the value and potential, or what is the potential of the ACA?
We should say what an ACA is. An ACA is an architectural character area.
Yeah, architectural conservation areas.
Or conservation areas,
And often they coincide with where there's a number of protected structures. Mm. But as we know, you know, an individual protected structure, it's not something that you think about in isolation. It's something that you can consider within its overall context, so its street. And so when we think about what it is, how we want a place to regenerate, and particularly in the places now where we've got those town centres that have suffered in the last 20 years or 25 years where the hollowing out has happened, you really need to take a really good overview and a strategic overview about how it is that you think that this place should plan. You need the community involved, because they're going to be the ones who are investing. But also you need the local authorities to have that very clear vision, working with the community about what that place can be. Mm. Because, you know, taking the value of what it is now, but then using all of those elements and then bringing it through to, you know, a vibrant place that it can be into the future and a really viable place to live. And I talk a lot about the impact of COVID and our refocus on what it is that our communities can be. And it goes back to that idea of the 20-minute neighbourhood or 15-minute city. I think it's as applicable. And it's as applicable to a town as it is in our city environment that we're in here. But, you know, where you can, you have all of the services that you need within walking distance.
Yeah.
And that's what our towns used to do. And when we saw in those maps, actually, in Ballybay and Castleblaney, we saw the way they evolved. And actually Monaghan town itself was very interesting, the way there were, when they planned those towns, they were very brave. They made new streets within the existing urban area. And we need to be as brave as that and to really infiltrate our existing villages, you know, bringing in new muse lanes or new streets in the backlands that you can plan for, that bringing in new life and I suppose that consolidation of those places and to provide all of the services.
And when you look at what the owner has done here, I mean, he's done very little. He's removed all of the modern finishes and pared it right back because he's interested in, you know, this is what he's interested in. But he's left all of the old signs and everything, and there's a sign that would have been here during the tenements, and what's it say? Notice persons loitering in dining.
Dancing.
Oh, dancing! No dancing! Oh, that's severe! This is perfect for dancing. And when you look at something like this, even the windows. And people are often scared of these big windows I mean, that's enormous.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's 3 times my height, isn't it? That's 15 foot.
Yeah, I know. The quality of light that's coming in there.
It's just phenomenal. Yeah.
Sometimes as well, you might see this. So this is it's 9 over 6 panes. But in the kind of classic 6 over 6 panes, you might have had it reduced to a single, and you can see just that trace of the small little details and things that have been taken away. And that. But this is what an amazing window to see.
Fantastic. It's absolutely a stunning window. Each one of those panes are so enormous, and the plaster work. I mean, often in more modest houses now, you wouldn't get much plaster work, would you, except maybe just in one room.
Yeah, and I mean, some of the townhouses typically in rural Ireland, they will have some little bit of cornice and detail. But also in Dublin Street, one of the houses that we're looking at has the Piano Nobile equivalent of this, except a much more modest scale. Mm. But it still has its cornice, it still has its window box, and it's the best room in the house. But it's still there and it's intact, and it will become, you know, a beautiful room, a beautiful living place for a family. You know, it's absolutely brilliant.
It'll be a breathtaking room, actually.
Yeah.
Looking out those windows and that beautiful. It's a beautiful square room. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Yeah.
When you say a street, do you mean like a street that enables us to have more living and people, or do you mean a street as in a road to bring cars faster through the community space? You know, because I think often there's confusion about that.
No, when I say street, I mean street, and I suppose it's the national policy in our architecture is places for people. So it's a people first approach, and that's the starting point. So the ease of movement for the individual, the pedestrian, and that in itself, if you're accommodating the elderly and the children and safety for those, well,
you've accommodated everybody.
You've accommodated everybody then.
Yeah,
exactly. But the priority would be that you're creating a street, and a street for living, eyes on the street, which is, you know, a really well supervised, safe environment for people to grow up. And I mean, we were able to do it in the past. We can see the legacy of it in our wonderful towns that we have, and all of those lovely places. And again, back to Monaghan Town, you see that great necklace of urban spaces connected with streets. And we had Dublin Street, which was a really vibrant street at one point. But why not to recreate those as well, or to recreate that type of environment in a contemporary way, you know, that you're providing homes that meet the contemporary needs.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so great about the Town Centre First policy as well, isn't it, that the Heritage Council are very positive toward, and the Historic Towns Initiative as well, to try and look at particular projects like we're doing on Dublin Street and that you're involved with. What would you think, why do you think that those projects are important to do, you know, those kind of demonstration projects?
Yeah, the more recent one, 2022-2023 one, is the objective is really to get lights back on the street and to lights on at the upper floor levels, that you redress the vacancy that has happened in those. And I think that's a great objective, and what it's targeting is, or what it's really its focus is, to achieve an outcome, a really positive outcome. And it's one where it has many values. It's one, you're creating a home for an individual, for a family, but it's also the reuse of the existing structures as well, and that there's visibility for that, for other people. It's amazing that knock-on effect, you know, and the confidence that people have as well. I think that people lost confidence in living in our towns and villages as a place that would meet their needs. And I think we need to rebuild that confidence, but also to reintroduce to people, you know, the quality of life that you can achieve in these wonderful places. I mean, we're in an exceptional home here. This is beautiful, but there's lots of ordinary townhouses in our countryside, in our towns and villages, that can create beautiful homes. They're wonderful spaces, and it's amazing actually when you look at them in detail, the quality of craftsmanship.
Yes.
And what I always love about that is you can see in, you know, the threshold as you're walking in the door, sometimes the that stone
step.
And the smooth step, and the number of people who have passed by that, and the value of that, and the history that that brings to you, and a reminder to all the people who've passed through that, and this place has served this function for
the longevity of it
and beauty of that.
Because I often wonder about that, about new developments sometimes. You know, are we thinking about how long this development will last into the future? Will this development still be good in 200 years? Will we be saying in 200 years, oh, these should be protected structures, these are of such high quality and of such good places to live, their function is great, they've great technical benefit, there's great social spaces or whatever.
Yeah.
And do you think we're doing enough of that?
That's the way we should be thinking about things. And when we think about cost and viability, you know, we really need to be thinking, well, what is this lifetime value of this this structure that we're building? And when you consider the level of investment in terms of time and everything in order to deliver a building, you know, it's really important that you get that right and that you take that longer
term view. Sustainability over time, to have communities, you know, coming and going, or families coming and going from the same set of houses or community, it makes such a difference to a place, doesn't it? This cohesion.
That's right.
Societal cohesion, and we really need that, don't we, at the moment, with all of the complex environment we're in, the difficult challenges we have to meet with climate and sustainability. And that's another thing, isn't it, about, you know, trying to encourage town centre living, is the potential that you may be able to rely on public transport. You're not pouring lots of concrete into a new build, you're using what's there, so it's much more sustainable from the start.
You know, if we're doing a piece of work, you can add value. So if you enhance the public realm, that's adding value.
Yes.
To add value to the whole place as well.
Yeah.
It's also encouraging people then to, or at least they can see this is a desirable place to live.
Yeah.
And that in itself,
that's
can
so
really
true.
Enhance, you know.
By doing individual houses on a street in a town, you're actually creating the public good as well.
Yeah.
It's a private benefit, obviously, to people who are going to end up living there eventually, but it's public good.
Yeah.
It's a real public service.
Yeah.
Because as you walk up and down the street then, I mean, you know, when you're walking around any town and you look at a street that's been restored and conserved, you see people living in it, it's so attractive. And I always walk up and down all the streets in Midland towns looking at to see where the work has been done. And when you come across a street, doesn't matter how grand it was or how modest, just that sense of it all working together, it's so wonderful. And you can feel the community in it. And different age groups there, and you know, different bits of toys outside houses, or people coming out who are older.
It's infectious.
It is.
And I think that then that's lovely, you know, in a positive way.
Yeah, in a positive way. Yeah, infectious in a positive way.
Yeah.
It's nearly a bad word.
I know. Yeah.
Contagious. Oh no, that's worse. Oh, so this is fantastic. So now we're back again, south facing, and you can see the lights coming in here. And I always love the splayed windows. I think they just add so much more, don't they, when they're splayed like that, so the light comes in gently through them.
Yeah, and this is good control light again as well with the shutters.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thanks so much.
Brilliant.
And Charlotte, just to finish, what would you say, or is there a role for architects for climate change or climate change adaptation?
Yeah, and I suppose the approach, I always take it from the macro to the micro, surely, and I would always look to what extent can we take an existing environment and consolidate and use all of the infrastructure that's there. The architects are brilliant at that, just looking at, you know, how can we infill and adjoin existing structures and all of those kind of things. And then when it comes to sustainability, reuse and adaptation is absolutely key, and to imaginatively reuse existing structures. The RAI had the lovely publication, Old House, New Home, that outlines how we can reuse existing structures, and it involves, you know, making them a really comfortable environment for people today, for their needs today, reducing energy. So that comes to things, you know, in terms of insulation and those kind of considerations. But again, if we go back to the room that we're in, orientation critical, absolutely key. South facing room, it's a beautiful warm environment, and it's a clever use of space and clever use of existing structures. That's really a great way to ensure that you're maximising that structure that you have, that existing structure. And always, I mean, the existing building is the greenest building, so always ensuring that you're reusing those existing housing stock and or building stock, but using them cleverly as well. And that's architects and the way that we think about places.
It's fantastic. I mean, I often think about that new principle where they talk about demolish nothing. You know, when you're thinking about places, to use that as a constraint when you're thinking about somewhere.
And it's an opportunity.
Yeah, an opportunity. Well, because you have to be more creative and imaginative then, don't you?
Yeah.
So we'll put a link to that document. What's it called?
Old House, New Home.
New Home.
Yeah, and there's a lovely video with this.
We'll put a little link to that in the notes for this podcast episode. And thank you very, very much, Charlotte.
That's my pleasure, Shirley.
Lovely to talk to you.
And you too.
The Heritage at the Heart podcast series is supported by the Heritage Council and Monaghan County Council.